And so, as we are teaching a series in Sunday school dealing with Love Not the World, and a lot of it has to deal with, you might say, the standard. And something occurred to me as I was teaching last week, and it went along with the thought is, what is God's standard? First of all, when we talk about God's standard, what is God's standard? I can say it in one word, and it starts with H.
Holiness.
Holiness. Well, what is holiness? Living without sin. Living free from sin. In other words, God has saved us and saved us from our sin, and He's made a way that we can live holy and live a life without sin. Thank God for that tonight. And so as we live a holy life, you know, there are some subcategories, and we're going to talk about some subcategories tonight, and that talks about our conduct, our talk, the way we dress, our attitude, those sorts of things all go along with God's standard. And the thought that I had is, through salvation, we all become a standard bearer. Every one of us, through the gift of salvation, we become a standard bearer. So I know our Sunday school class knows this. I hope they don't get tired of this. And we'll learn something new tonight, young people that are in our Sunday school class. But we should consider it a high honor to be God's standard bearer.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to say that again. We should consider it a high honor to be God's standard bearer. And I'll clarify that a little bit more as we go. Because considering, and we're going to learn about this, what is a standard bearer? Again, I know our class knows some about this, but I want you to consider something. At the beginning of a parade, a lot of times you see a color guard. What is the color guard doing?
Carrying the flag.
They're carrying the flag. They're carrying the flag on a standard. Is it held down low? Where's it held? Up high, where everybody can see it.
Right.
And something that I want you to notice, and we'll talk about this picture right here and this gentleman. I thought it was very, very interesting about this gentleman. But you notice in the midst of this battle, what does this gentleman not carry?
A weapon.
A weapon. He is without a weapon. But yet, in the midst of the battle, and on my picture at home, you can actually see bullets flying. So there's bullets flying all around, and this man right here has no way to defend himself. His sole job is to carry that standard. And how? Where is it lifted? It's lifted high. It's lifted high. And so as we consider this tonight, again, the color guard, or the one carrying the banner, or the standard, you might say, or the colors, considering the U.S. flag. And also you might see at the beginning and in front of, and a lot of times, you're going to see this person that's carrying the banner or maybe carrying the regimental flag. Where are they at? They're in front. They're in front where all the bullets are flying, with no way to defend themselves. So just like these standard bearers, they're in the forefront. They're typically positioned in the front of a parade, or they're typically, in this particular case, they're in right in the midst of the battle. They're in front of everything. Now again, his sole job is to protect the colors and to hold the colors high amid all the chaos going on around them. And young people, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of chaos in this life. But God has called us in the midst of all that to be a standard bearer. To be a standard bearer. It is considered a high honor to be chosen to bear the colors. During war, the most honorable, dependable, valiant men are chosen to carry the colors of the U.S. flag or the regiment they belong to. Numbers chapter 2. If we look at, let's just turn there real quick. Numbers chapter 2. And if you notice, again, I'm not going to read any verses, you might say, but I want you to notice something. Numbers chapter 2, and it starts out, and Moses spake, or Aaron, Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. So in other words, if you look down through those verses, by family name, or by tribe, they were to, again, there are four sides to the tabernacle. There were to be three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. But how did they know which tribe to assemble with? It was that standard. It was that standard that was posted right there in the midst or in the forefront. So they knew where to assemble as a tribe. And so each one had a different banner. And they knew which tribe it was by what was on the banner. Now, I thought about the song, Stand Up for Jesus. Part of that song says, let low his royal banner. What does it say?
Lift high
his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. It must not suffer loss. Again, remember, the standard bearer's job is to protect that with everything that he has.
Right.
Even at his own peril. And so what am I trying to get at tonight? It's a high honor to bear the banner of Jesus Christ, to bear the banner of the Church of God, to bear the standard that God has for us to carry tonight. It's a high honor. But we have to protect it. Well, how do we protect it? By the way we live. By the way we conduct ourselves. By the things that we say. By the things that we do. That's how we lift it up. That's how we protect it. By living that holy life. And during the time of war, the standard with the colors was lifted to let others know whose side you're on. And so as we conduct ourselves, young people, throughout the day, we go into the world, we go to school, we go to work, we interact with people at the gas station, at the store. And as we lift up that banner, by the way we conduct ourselves, by our attitudes and the things that we say, the things that we do, people will know whose side we're on. People will know whose side we're on. A regimental flag was also lifted so people knew where to assemble in the midst of the battle. And so this brings me to this gentleman right here. His name was William Harvey Kearney. You can look him up. But he was born a slave in South Carolina. He escaped, went north via the Underground Railroad, settled, I believe, with his father in Massachusetts. He joined the Union Army during the Civil War. He was 23 years old. During the Battle of Fort Wagner, down in the south, the color guard was killed. So the man carrying the colors was killed. Kearney retrieved the U.S. flag before it hit the ground. So as this man was falling, the banner was falling, he retrieved it before it hit the ground and marched forward, Despite serious wounds, when the Union troops were forced to retreat under fire, he struggled back across the battlefield. He was shot in the right arm and leg, as well as the chest. But with the last shot fired, barely hitting his head, and eventually returning to his own lines, turning over the colors to another survival of the 54th Sand. Boys, I did my duty. The old flag never touched the ground. He actually received the highest military honor one can earn. Does anybody know what the highest military honor anyone can earn? Anybody know? Sorry, speak up. The Congressional Medal of Honor. Highest award that you can receive. He was a Medal of Honor recipient. He earned it. Why? For that feat performed that day. Now, in 1901, after 1 year after receiving the Medal of Honor, now remember, this happened in 1863 during the Civil War. How long did he have to wait to receive the Medal of Honor? Actually, what would have been 30 some years? From 1863 to 1900. So 37 years. He waited 37 years to have that award presented to him. But 1 year afterward, there was actually a song written about this feat. And I want to read just a portion of this song. And it says in this song, a Negro saw the old flag fall and threw his gun away to grasp the falling colors staff, to lead them to the fray. 'Twas the blue against the gray, boys, and he said to all around, I've done my duty, boys. The old flag never touched the ground. Young people, are we doing everything that we can to hold those colors of Jesus Christ high? Remember, it's an honor. Just like this gentleman right here, he considered it an honor, and it also was his duty to protect that flag. Do we consider it an honor, and do we consider our duty to hold the standard high? So let's talk about this just a little bit more tonight. These are just some thoughts that came to my mind, and of course, I only put one scripture here that kind of corresponded with this. But let's talk about our duty in lifting up the standard. First of all, I want to talk about our conduct. Our conduct. What am I talking about when we're talking about our conduct?
The way we act.
The way we act. So when we go to school, when we go to work, when we interact with people, even among our own young people's group, is our conduct befitting of holding the standard of Jesus Christ high? Or are we letting the banner down? Are we letting the banner down? Let's turn to Philippians 1 and 27. Philippians 1 and 27. Like I said, there's numerous verses that go along with this thought, but for the sake of time, I chose one. Philippians 1 and 27. We'll read out of the King James Version, and then I want to go to the International Children's Bible. Clarifies it a little bit more. But verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1 says, only let your conversation. Now, conversation is translated into conduct. So by our conduct, only let your conduct be as becometh of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, that or I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. International Children's Bible says, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. By the way, we are living, young people. Remember, we're talking about lifting up the standard. We're lifting up the standard of Jesus Christ. Are we bringing honor? Are we bringing honor to the good news of Jesus Christ? By the way that we live each and every day. Goes on to say, then whether I come and visit you or I'm away from you. So in other words, if Paul's talking here, whether I'm away from you or whether I'm with you, are you conducting yourselves the same way? The way that honors Jesus Christ. I will hear good things about you, and I will hear that you continue strong with one purpose, that you work together as a team. And young people, I thought that's good. You know what? We're a family. We're a team. We need one another.
Right.
We need one another. And what is the aspect of team? What is the purpose of team? I know some of you play sports, and you are on a team. What is the whole purpose of team?
Work together toward a common goal.
To pull together. To work together. And young people, again, we're a team. We're a family. Are we doing everything that we can to pull together as a team? What is that common goal?
Winning.
Well, winning. Winning what? Souls. Making it to heaven. Helping one another when we're going through trials and tribulations and problems. You know, again, we sing that song, encourage one another and build each other up. Right? Isn't that part of the team aspect? Because guess what? It's just like on the football field. I'll use the football field. I played football in my younger years. And did everything go our way? Absolutely not. And in this walk with God, does everything go our way? Absolutely not. But that team, you rally around one another. You encourage one another. Even if things aren't going right, we can help one another out. We can help one another out. And so again, we're talking about conduct. Are we conducting ourselves in such a way that it is an honor to the good news of Christ? But it goes on to say again that you work together as a team for the faith of the good news. Let's move on. How about our talk? How about the way that we talk? The words that we speak? Do you think the words that we speak are important? Absolutely. We can use words in two ways. One, to build each other up, to encourage one another, or we can take words and we can tear each other down. Going back to that last verse that we talked about, which would be the most befitting of promoting the good news of Jesus Christ? Building each other up with the way we talk, right? Young people, this part of life that you're living in right now, I would say, is the most difficult part. And the reason why I say that is, you know, when I work with ones at the altar, you are making a transition from teens to young adults. You're making a lot of decisions. There's a lot of things going on in life. And as you go to high school and as you maybe work in particular places, you know what? People can be mean. Other young people can be mean. But it ought not to be in this youth group, right? It ought not to be. And again, we talked about in our Sunday school class being conformed to this world. Paul tells us not to be conformed to this world. What does that mean? We don't want to take on the attributes of what's going on in this world. But we want to lift up the standard of Jesus Christ. We want to lift up the standard of Jesus Christ so we don't do the things that the world does. We don't act the way that the world does. We don't talk the way that the world does. And so let's take a look at James chapter 3, verse 10. James chapter 3, verse 10. And it says here in verse 10, out of the same mouth. I want you to think about this. Again, there's a lot of verses that have to do with the things that we say or what comes out of our mouth. But out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so James saying here, you know, we have the power to say things that build each other up or tear each other down. But James is saying those things that tear each other down ought not so to be. We ought to be helping each other out by encouraging one another. If anything in this world, young people, or young people and people that come in here to visit, this ought to be a safe haven. We ought to be making this a safe haven for people to come to. Why? Because they know they're safe and they know that they're going to receive encouragement. Are we lifting up the standard? Are we lifting up the banner of Jesus Christ? Are we saying the things that promote the good news of the gospel? You know, another thing, talking about conforming to the world. I heard somebody saying the other day, I don't remember where I heard it said, but somebody was mentioning Christian cuss words. Christian cuss words. Well, what are Christian cuss words? They could be euphemisms, or they could be almost like, right? Should we be using euphemisms and almost like? No, we should refrain from those things, right? We should refrain from those things. Remember, the things that we say that are coming out of our mouth ought to be blessings. Ought to be blessings. But you know, as we go out into the world, young people, and again, we've got to work. We've got to go to school. And remember what I said something about. I said something about one time. There was one guy at work. There were two guys interacting, but it happened in front of my bench. Now, I kind of said it in a kidding way, but he got the message. Actually, the other guy got the message because you reminded him of it again the other day. But he said something and the other guy gave him the bird, the one finger salute. All right. And I said, whoa, this is a no fly zone here. The bird doesn't fly here. All right. This is a no fly zone. So he did it the other day to the same guy and he said, hey, he said, that's no fly zone. That's a no fly zone. See, we can say things and they still get the message. They get the message. And so the next time, I guarantee you, he's going to be a little more careful. He's going to be a little more careful doing that in front of my bench. Because not only is he getting the message, but other people are getting the message too. And so, young people, what is coming out of our mouth? Is it lifting the standard high or is the flag coming down? Is the flag coming down? How about our attitude? How about our attitude? You know, sometimes we have to go pray and say, Lord, help me with my attitude. Because it all works on us, right? It all works on us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. We need to hurry here. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Thank you for being such a good audience tonight. I know it's been a long week, but I appreciate you paying attention tonight. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Again, I think this sums everything up here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering. Does it say short-suffering? It says long-suffering. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Do we love one another as we ought? First of all, do we love God as we ought? Because if we love God as we ought, it'll show through our attitude. It'll show through our attitude toward the gospel. It'll show through our attitude toward one another. So what's our attitude tonight? Do we have long suffering? Even with people out in the world. It's not just for the people of God, but with the people out in the world. I'm sure that there are people you go to school with, you go to work with, you interact with, maybe it's even family. Are you long-suffering? Are you long-suffering? Do you forbear? Do we show the love of Christ to those that get under our skin? Again, remember, what are we doing? We're raising the standard, right? We want to hold that standard high. We want to hold that standard high. How about our choice of friends? How about our choice of friends? You know, one thing that we have as a people, as human beings, we have the power of choice over all of God's creation. We have the power of choice. And we have the power to choose the friends that we have. And so let's turn. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 33. And let's look at one verse here again. Many, many verses. But for the sake of time, we only want to read one. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Out of the Amplified Classic Edition, it says here, do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, we're talking about friendships. Evil companionships, communion or associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. And so the friendships that we establish, and I know that I've got good friends that are unsaved, but are those friendships affecting us, or are we having effect on the friendships that we have? Because if those friendships that we have with people in the world, or maybe it's even here in the youth group, you know, some, let's face it, some friendships can be toxic. They could just be toxic friendships. They're poisonous. And they don't do us any good. And so when we choose our friendships, are we choosing wisely in our friendships, young people? Are we choosing to be around people that encourage us to do better? Are we hanging around people that cause us to want to be better? Are you hanging around people that you are actually helping to want to become better? To move forward for God? To be the best that they can be? Our friendships have a great effect on us. Our friendships have a great effect on us. And so, young people, choose your friendships wisely tonight. And lastly, and I only say this, our dress does. And I told our Sunday school class this morning, and I want you to consider something. Before we say a word, before we do anything, people are looking at us afar off. People are looking at us afar off. And by the way we dress, people are already making, what do you want to say? I guess for lack of a better term, judging us, right? We do the same thing, right? We do. I'll tell you a story about a young man. The first year that I taught high school, he was one that just kind of looked like a California beach bum, to just put it plainly. His shirts were always untucked. His hair was always everywhere, every which way. But you know what? He was a great kid. Had a great personality. Had a lot of things going for him, really. But he went in for a job interview one time. He says, as soon as I walked in the door, when the person who was going to interview me saw me, he says, I knew what the decision was. He didn't give him a chance, you know, telling how, you know, how great of a person he was and this, that, and the other. He was judged. He was judged just by the way he looked. And young people, people are judging us by the way we look. By the way we conduct ourselves. Even if they don't hear us say a word. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, and verses 9 and 10. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I want to again read it out of the Amplified once we read it out of the King James Version. And it says, and again, this is addressing women, but the principle applies to every single one of us here tonight, men and women alike. I think there's a principle here that this is teaching. Okay? And so here's the principle. It says here in verses 9 and 10, in like manner also, that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So let's read it out of another version here, or another translation. Also, Paul saying here, also I desire that women should adorn themselves modestly. All of us should be adorning ourselves modestly. Men and women alike. We should be dressing modestly. And, he goes on to say, and appropriately. We should be dressing appropriately. And sensibly. In seemly apparel. So in other words, in apparel that would be befitting a child of God. Not with elaborate hair arrangement, or gold, or pearls, or expensive clothing. Because what does it do? It draws attention to us. What should we be pointing people to? We should be pointing people to God. Now he goes on to say, by doing good deeds, that's what we should be doing. We should be doing good deeds, right? Deeds in themselves good, and for the good and advantage of those contacted by them. So in other words, what we're saying is, in everything that we do, young people, are we doing it for the benefit of those that we are helping? Are we doing it for the benefit of the cause of Christ? Are we doing it for the benefit of helping somebody become better because of our help? And he goes on to say, to finish up here, as befits women who profess reverential fear for and devotion to God. Brother Dishman brought a wonderful message about the fear of God this week. Outstanding message about the fear of God. And what does he talk about? It's not that we're quaking in our shoes. We're not afraid of God, but we have reverence for God. We hold him up high. We hold him in high esteem. That's what we're talking about as far as the fear of God is concerned. And so tonight, as we finish up, are we lifting up God by the way we live, by the way we conduct ourselves, by the way we talk, by the choice of our friends, so on and so forth? Are we lifting up God? Are we holding the banner high? That's our job. And it should be considered a great honor to do so. And are we honoring it like we ought? Are we honoring it like we ought? So I'll turn it back over to the chairman.